Of course, I believed Madame Spinella to blame. She'd several times called the authorities to complain about Holly. It didn't occur to me the affair could have dire dimensions until that evening when Joe Bell showed up flourishing the newspapers. He was too agitated to speak sensibly. He caroused the room, hitting his fists together while I read the accounts. Then he said,
"You think it's so? She was mixed up in this lousy business?"
"Well, yes." He popped a Tums in his mouth and, glaring at me, chewed it as though he were crunching my bones.
"Boy, that's rotten. And you meant to be her friend. What a bastard."
"Just a minute. I didn't say she was involved knowingly. She wasn't. But there, she did do it. Carry messages and whatnot." He said,
"Take it pretty calm, don't you? Jesus, she could get 10 years. More."
He yanked the papers away from me.
"You know we're friends, these rich fellows. Come down to the bar, we'll start phoning. Our girl's gonna need fancier shysters than I can afford."
I was too sore and shaky to dress myself. Joe Bell had to help. Back at his bar, he propped me in the telephone booth with a triple martini and a brandy tumbler full of coins. But I couldn't think who to contact. Jose was in Washington, and I had no notion where to reach him there. Rusty Trawler? Not that bastard. Only, what other friends of hers did I know? Perhaps she'd been right when she'd said she had none. Not really. I put through a call to Crestview 56958 in Beverly Hills, the number long-distance information gave me for O.J. Berman. The person who answered said Mr. Berman was having a massage and couldn't be disturbed. Sorry, try later. Joe Bell was incensed. Told me I should have said it was a life-and-death matter, and he insisted on my trying Rusty. First, I spoke to Mr. Trawler's butler. Mr. and Mrs. Trawler, he announced, were at dinner, and might he take a message. Joe Bell shouted into the receiver,
"This is urgent, mister. Life and death."
The outcome was that I found myself talking, listening, rather, to the former Mag Wildwood.
"Are you stalkers?" she demanded. "My husband and I will positively sue anyone who attempts to connect our names with that revolting and degenerate girl. I always knew she was a hop-hop-head with no more morals than a hound bitch in heat. Prison is where she belongs, and my husband agrees 1,000%. We will positively sue anyone who..."
Hanging up, I remembered old Doc down in Tulip, Texas. But no, Holly wouldn't like it if I called him. She'd kill me good. I rang California again. The circuits were busy, stayed busy, and by the time O.J. Berman was on the line, I'd emptied so many martinis, he had to tell me why I was phoning him.
"About the kid, is it? I know already. I spoke already to Iggy Fiddlestein. Iggy's the best shingle in New York. I said, 'Iggy, you take care of it. Send me the bill. Only keep my name anonymous, see? Well, I owe the kid something. Not that I owe her anything, you want to come down to it. She's crazy. A phony. But a real phony, you know? Anyway, they only got her in 10,000 bail. Don't worry, Iggy'll spring her tonight. Wouldn't surprise me, she's home already.'"
But she wasn't. Nor had she returned the next morning when I went down to feed her cat. Having no key to the apartment, I used the fire escape and gained entrance through a window. The cat was in the bedroom, and he was not alone. A man was there, crouching over a suitcase. The two of us, each thinking the other a burglar, exchanged uncomfortable stares as I stepped through the window. He had a pretty face, lacquered hair. He resembled Jose. Moreover, the suitcase he'd been packing contained the wardrobe Jose kept at Holly's, the shoes and suits she fussed over, was always carting to menders and cleaners. And I said, certain it was so. "Did Mr. Ybarra Yeager send you?"
"I am the cousin,"
he said with a wary grin and just penetrable accent.
"Where is Jose?"
He repeated the question as though translating it into another language.
"Ah, where she is! She is waiting,"
he said and seemed to dismiss me, resumed his valet activities. So, the diplomat was planning a powder. Well, I wasn't amazed, or in the slightest sorry. Still, what a heartbreaking stunt. He ought to be horsewhipped. The cousin giggled. I'm sure he understood me. He shut the suitcase and produced a letter.
My cousin, she asked me leave that for his chum. You will oblige?
On the envelope was scribbled, For Miss H. Golightly, Courtesy Bearer. I sat down on Holly's bed and hugged Holly's cat to me, and felt as badly for Holly, every iota, as she could feel for herself. Yes, I will oblige.